first for the Bucks.
Zeke Elliott bumped the ball.
Jalen Smith.
That is a play to remember.
Oh, what a tackle by Jalen Smith.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the next episode of the Frisco Report. Today, we're going to talk heavy cornerback, all right? Because, you know, there is the looming franchise tag is coming up here in a few weeks. So, you know, there's a lot of conversation still looming as far as who will it go to? Will it go to Dak? Will it go to Amari Cooper? Will it go to Byron Jones? You know, we're kind of hearing, Mike, that The Broncos have high interest. They've already kind of made it a point, but I don't even know how you leak that out there. You know, sometimes they say that that's tampering. So I don't know where that report came from. But, you know, the Broncos have interest in Byron Jones. So let's talk about this. Mike, what is your take on what the state of the cornerback position opposite of Chido Uwuzie?
Yes, and I think we need to talk about Byron. I think that's a good segue into this cornerback talk. And it's not just the Broncos. Philadelphia has high interest in a guy like Byron Jones. So does the New York Giants. So you could see a huge bidding war. If the Dallas Cowboys want to dip their hands in it, you could see a huge bidding war. And I think the market value that his team is commanding is somewhere along the lines of $16 million a year average. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys, in my opinion, want to play in that. Giants, Eagles, Broncos, they can have that bidding war because, you know, we don't know what we actually have in just a guy that can bat balls down. So Anthony Brown, he's a huge piece to this defense right now. If the Dallas Cowboys know they're going to let a guy like Byron Jones walk, you got to secure yourself and bring in an Anthony Brown.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think?
Yeah, you definitely have to have, you know, insurance policy. I think Anthony Brown would be a great, you know, insurance policy. So if that's the plan, you know, you got to get yourself that depth, keep the depth there with Anthony Brown. Jordan Lewis and these guys, they'll be in the mix. And then, you know, it's kind of pointing towards, you know, possibly drafting a cornerback. But let's talk a little bit more here about Byron Jones, right? So a very polarizing topic. You know, we see the conversations going on Twitter and on our YouTube pages and everywhere. You know, it's just like that. You have people that love him, people that hate him. So for what we're going to talk about here, we're going to be objective about the conversation here. So let's talk about Byron Jones, the positives. What would a team like in Byron Jones or even the Cowboys? What are the positives on Byron Jones in your opinion, Mike?
Durability. I think, you know, he's a guy that can stay healthy all year round, but it's just the nature of the position. And that's no disrespect for any corners that gotten hurt playing that position, but you know, it's a little less wear and tear on the body. And Byron Jones, he's very durable. He's a locker room guy. He stays quiet. He's very smart. Hell, he could run for senator tomorrow if he wanted to. So that's why his nickname is Senator Jones.
The senator. That's right.
And so, I mean, smart guy, very durable, a locker room guy. I think he's coachable. He's not a diva. Like, you know, when I mean diva, you look at Josh Norman, that type of diva. But he definitely isn't Darrelle Revis. He definitely isn't a Richard Sherman. When Richard Sherman was in his prime. So, I mean, there's pros and cons to Byron Jones. But at the end of the day, $16 million, that's just way too much money for me to pay my corner to go out there and bat balls down. Well, I mean, what... Am I wrong?
No, and you know, talking about the pros and cons, positives and negatives. You made a good point in the one of your YouTube videos here that you just did. You know, saying, you know, obviously he's a great cover corner, but he doesn't get the turnovers, right?
Right.
And he's not. And this is just the honest truth. You can go back and watch these games. He does not want to tackle. He doesn't want to make tackles on these running backs or bigger tight ends, these kinds of guys that are heading towards him, he'll throw a shoulder, you know, but he's not gonna go for the legs or the thighs or nothing like that. And I almost kind of feel like maybe that's why he's been so durable. He's kind of had so many business decisions that he's been durable. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that's just a coincidence. But I'm not throwing shade on the player. You know, I think he is a good cornerback. And you know, even Will McClay, his comment was kind of foreshadowing, like, he's a good starting caliber type of cornerback, but he didn't give him the type of, you know, description as, oh, he's a shutdown, we must keep this guy. You know, if they were gonna keep him, I think McClay would have had more positive vibe to the, you know, that conversation. But he just got a lukewarm description on Byron Jones, you know.
Yes, he did. And you know, Mike Nolan was telling a story reminiscent about what Troy Aikman told him years ago. Mm-hmm. Was, I'm not scared to throw a football to a corner that I know that's going to bat the ball down.
Right.
So, you know, if he's telling that story, Will McClay's telling this story, it's a telltale sign that there's a big exit on the door with Byron's Jones's name tag underneath it.
Absolutely.
You're right. Watch the tape. Look, and you know, we give Chido Bayawuzie so much crap about, you know, his blown coverages, but he's willing to tackle, and he tackles very well. He's not scared to put his nose in someone's thigh, you know, and Byron Jones has that problem.
I remember when Chido, you know, went head to head with Marshawn Lynch, one of the more physical in your face running backs, and he wasn't afraid to go in there. Him, Byron Jones would not do that. That's why when I think about Byron Jones, and that is a part of a cornerback's game. You have to be able to get in there and make tackles, you know, unless you're just this Hall of Fame Deion Sanders getting turnovers, pick sixes. When you're that caliber of a cornerback, you can kind of get away with business decisions. But Byron is not that. He doesn't get the turnover. He doesn't get pick sixes. So, you know,
You know what's crazy, Joe?
Yeah.
Is Brandon Carr was with the organization for 5 years, and Cowboy fans were screaming for his head. Yeah, he's had some, you know, blown coverages. The most, you know, spotlight one was against Odell Beckham his rookie year, Sunday Night Football. But they forget we won that football game. So, you know, and the same Cowboy fans that were screaming for Brandon Carr's head is the one that's saying, let's keep Byron Jones.
Yeah.
And you know, if we wanted Brandon Carr gone for a reason, if you look at what Brandon Carr is doing versus what Byron Jones is doing, Brandon Carr made the tackles. Brandon Carr got the interceptions. And Byron Jones, I can't say that about him. You know, they both have their flaws. Sure, you know, Byron Jones might not get all the balls thrown at him because he's not covering, a lot of the times, not covering number one wide receivers. He don't travel with number one wide receivers. Yeah, you can blame that on the scheme that Rod Marinelli ran, but at the end of the day, I don't see enough there to that ankles to $16 million average.
Yeah, no, it's hard to, you know, to see them doing that, especially, you know, what they have to do moving forward. You know, you still have these other contracts are coming up for Chido, X Woods, Jordan Lewis. He's a playmaker. For me, I think it would be smart to extend Jordan Lewis sometime this season, you know, kind of get ahead of it, you know, kind of like what they did with Jalen, but not grossly overpay Jordan Lewis. But I mean, right, this is a guy you want on your team. He's a playmaker. He'll get the ball.
He has a knack for the ball. I mean, immediately coming in, making plays.
Yeah. He turns his head. The other guys, I think Jordan Lewis thing was, I think he kind of bumped heads with Chris Richard, and maybe that was one of the things was, you know, Jordan Lewis was going to turn his head. He was going to try to get the ball. He was going to try to jump a route. It was just kind of weird, man. The Chris Richard era, it just didn't go as we thought it was going to go here. And it was, you know, disappointing at the end of the day. But
that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what if a new boss came in to your work after you've been there and says, well, I'm looking for taller guys to work on my IT stuff. Yeah, you started your rookie year and you played really well, but I'm looking for taller guys. You know, I would have an issue with that if I was Jordan Lewis.
Yeah, and I think that kind of culture is going to be gone from here. I think you got, you know, we no longer have to go, you know, into this draft, you know, kind of tied to, you know, 6 foot to 6'2", 6'3", kind of guys. And, you know, if they're 5'11", close enough, man. Close enough, you know. Why cancel out a guy that's 5'11" if he's a playmaker? You know what I mean? That just didn't make sense to me. Didn't make sense to me at all. But the other part that I like to ask people, and some people don't want to answer this, is if Byron Jones is on the let's say he goes to Philadelphia, right? Zeke's running at him. Is it going to be a 3 yard gain or is it going to turn into like a 10 yard gain? You know,
it's going to be a 10 yard gain.
Yeah. And he's not going to want to hit Zeke. Zeke is a big man. You know,
Zeke might be looking to hit him.
That's right. That's right. That's going to be a business decision all day long. They're going to be running at that side of the field all day long. I mean, I'm for it. You know, I'm not afraid of it. I'm just not, you know.
Not right. Afraid
of it, you know, but, you know, that being said, you know, we're having this conversation, but, you know, everything kind of just looks like it's pointing in that direction. So, what can the Cowboys do to shore up the cornerback position? You know, we got, you know, I don't think, I know you and I don't think he's going to get the franchise tag. So, you know, it's kind of looking like, you know, he's going to go somewhere else probably. So we need to figure out, how do they fill that void, Mike? Is it going to go, is it going to be free agency, you feel? Or is it going to be the draft? What's your gut instinct on filling that void?
Well, let's look at free agency, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Who's available? I mean, if you look at the free agency, there's a reason why Byron Jones is probably the top corner in free agency, because if you look at him, I mean, you don't have a lot of people. I mean, Vernon Hargraves, Eli Apple. I mean, these guys, seriously? This is all you're giving me? Josh Norman, the older guy. Jonathan Joseph, he's 36 years old out of Houston. He's a free agent. I mean, if you look at the free agent side, it's scary because there really isn't a lot of guys, Joe, that you can go get. That's why Anthony Brown, you have to go sign Anthony Brown, because if I'm looking at the free agency, if I'm the Cowboys, and I'm Will McClay, and I'm looking at our corners in free agency, I'm like, okay, Anthony Brown, and then we got to go draft. What do you think?
That's got to be the conversation because, yeah, you can't let both those guys go out. And obviously, if you let Byron go, you kind of have to make a pretty decent push to keep Anthony Brown around. And it's not like Anthony Brown's a bad corner or anything like that. He does have reps on the outside. He does have reps in the inside. You do have the flexibility with Jordan Lewis as well. He played on the outside. At Michigan, he can play in the slot, very versatile. He'll grab the ball. I think the competition will be open there. But, yeah, you know, we're looking at this list here. And, yeah, it's just not a very good free agent class. Everybody's old, you know, and you don't want to give a contract to somebody who's really in their 30s. I mean, if you do, it's probably a one-year deal. And if that's the case, you're probably still drafting somebody because you got to have somebody come in, you know. And none of these names just really do anything for us. I mean, Chris Harris, 31, maybe him, but, you know, you're getting him on the backside.
Right.
Mo Claiborne's out there. I don't think we'll revisit that. That ship has sailed on that guy.
Exactly.
let's see who else is out. Jason Verrett, he can't stay healthy.
And then people are saying, and this has nothing to do with cornerback, but, you know, you got Jamal Adams out there. You know, the Lions said they're willing to ship Darius Slay.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, Joe, doing that type of stuff, that's expensive draft.
Yeah.
That's expensive draft quality.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to trade. If we know we need one tech, three tech, strong safety, linebacker, tight end. I'm not allocating my draft picks to trades. I'm allocating my draft picks to build my roster.
Yeah, and you and I kind of talked about this offline. You know, you don't want to say the dreaded rebuild word, but I feel like the secondary is going to have a little bit of a soft rebuild, you know, because, we're not one player away. If we were like one or two players away, they might go for it. You know, they might do that Darius Slay, but we're not. We have a lot of holes and some areas that need, you know, they need to be bolstered big time. And we, you know, the middle of that defense is number one. Or, you know, probably 1B, you know, the cornerback, assuming if Byron's gone, that probably goes up to 1A, you know. Just because these guys, they don't really do anything. And even if you sign them on a one-year deal, you're probably still drafting a cornerback within the first three rounds, I would say, you know.
You would have to.
Yeah, Breshad Breeland, he's out there, 28. That might be a decent one. Kevin Johnson, I know the Cowboys had interest in him during the draft process. Former Texan has some health issues, though. Couldn't stay healthy. You know, these kinds of guys, they might do a little short-term deal. You know, Trey Waynes, we talked about him, 28 years old. But nothing that really gets you excited, you know, just be like, okay. Ronald Darby, he's 26, but he can't stay healthy. So there's a lot of guys out here that are just beat up, not very good. So now the question is, we're looking at draft prospects, right, Mike? And, you know, we kind of touched on this on our mock draft. You know, you had AJ Terrell out of Clemson.
My second round pick, yeah.
Second round pick. And I strongly believe he will be in there. And I feel like he's not getting enough attention. I feel he's better than Bryce Hall out of Virginia. That's just my opinion. CJ Henderson. If you're looking for somebody that's probably gonna, you know, jump routes and get turnovers, it's Trayvon Diggs. I mean, he had three interceptions this year, and brother of a Stephon Diggs. So there's the hands. I think he actually started out as a receiver. I think maybe his freshman year, and converted him to cornerback. And that's I think that's one of the things they say. A cornerback is a wide receiver that didn't have hands. I think that's what the saying is, right?
Yeah, but that's the saying. That's why he plays defense. Catch the ball.
But he does. But he did. He did get some turnovers this year, and he's got some good size to him. 6'2", 207. Obviously, you know, you have the LSU guy, Christian Fulton. He's a good one too. Jeff Okuda will be way out of our range. No way he's gonna slide. But you know, it is pretty deep. I mean, I wouldn't say deep, but you could probably get you somebody here within the first two rounds. You know, if you want somebody to start for you as a rookie, you know, it's going to either probably be at 17 or 51.
Yeah, 17 and 51. Really with any position, defensive tackle, strong safety, or corner, I mean, 17, 51. I feel like you got to invest those draft picks there. AJ Terrell. I mean, yeah, we just talked about him, but I'm raving about this guy. You brought up Diggs. Absolutely. Why not, right? And then you drafted CJ Henderson in your first round, and I'm a green light for that too. So, so many players that the Cowboys can take, and that's, you know, quality play.
Yeah, for sure. And so it's just gonna be interesting to see what these guys do at the combine. I can't wait for the combine. You know, I'm gonna be covering it almost live. I will definitely be tweeting as the prospects are going through their drills and that kind of thing. But these are some of the names, you know, you're gonna be wanting to watch. You know, you got Cameron Dantzler, Mississippi State. He's got size to him, 6'2". Lamar Jackson out of Nebraska, he's a 6'3 guy, but you know, these guys can probably have Troy Pride Jr. out of Notre Dame. You know, obviously I'm a fan of the university, so I know he's a good one, but he's in that 5'11 range. So that 5'11, that's where the conversation comes into play. In with the previous administration, 5'11", right. nah. Let's mark him off. I feel with this one, with McCarthy, that won't be the case. So you could draft a Troy Pride Jr. You know, you could get him. You might be able to move down the second round for sure. Maybe in the third round, you might be able to get him there. But he could be a steal for you. So lots of names here. It, definitely within the first three rounds. It just you know, depends on when does the dreaded run happen. You know, we always talk about the run on offensive tackles. When does that start? When does the run on wide receivers begin? When, you know what I'm saying? Like, when does the run begin for cornerbacks? Is it going to be? I have a feeling it's going to be, you know, you're going to have your top tier guys in the first round, and then I could see the run going in the second and third round. So it's going to be interesting to see what options will be there for the Cowboys. But yeah, man.
Bryce Hall, Virginia, you know, Christian Fulton, LSU. I mean, these are 6'1", 6 foot guys, 200 pounds. I mean, there's no reason why, you know, you can't get talent there, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just like our top end guys that we've kind of been looking at. You know, Jeff Gladney out of TCU. he's a good one as well. He's a little slender for me, though. I think you got to add some more mass.
What is he, 183? I think he's 183.
Like 180-something, 185, something, somewhere like that. But that's kind of slender. You know, 6 foot, 180-something. Might need to pack on some muscle or, you know. But, yeah, man, it's Cowboys, man. They got a lot of work, man. And we're getting down to it, you know. There's been no movement. There's been nothing as far as the Dak Prescott contract. And then, you know, they always talk about deadlines make deals. Like, why does it have to be like that with the Cowboys? I swear, every year it's like this.
You know? It is. And, you know, Jerry Jones, I mean, that's his. I'm sure he has a plaque somewhere in his office that says that deadline makes deals. Because that's, I mean, besides Tank Lawrence, you know, and that was just a tricky situation in itself with the surgery and not getting surgery, whatever. You know, Dez Bryant was a late signing, you know, stuff like this. So,
Yeah,
these Cowboys, and you know what's crazy? Like, there's nothing leaking out. Like, Mike McCarthy's team is, like, tight because there isn't – Cowboys are really interested in this guy. Cowboys are really interested in that. I mean, there's really no movement from the Mike McCarthy staff.
That's true. That's very true. So it makes you wonder, you know, like, why the supreme secrecy. You know, we're getting to it. And like we talked about this a couple of podcasts ago, what's good about the combine is this kind of will jostle some of the conversation and rumors. You're going to hear about, oh, so and so wants to be moved, they want to do a trade, this person's on the trade block, you know. You know, we're leaning more towards franchise tagging Amari, or, you know, we're going to franchise Dak. Like, something will leak out. You know, I think that's when we might hear a little bit more on this. But, I mean, we are getting very close to it. So, what is your take on this, Mike? Let me ask you this. Let's take Byron Jones out of the equation. You know, they're going to let him walk and this and that. If the, you know, the franchise tag between Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott, which direction would you go?
That's a good question. Me, and I said this because I do roundtables too, and I said this on the roundtable, you got to sign Amari Cooper and franchise tag Dak. And I think I touched on this in my video that I dropped today. And here's why, before y'all cut my throat open. Amari Cooper is a playmaking wide receiver. We can argue about the ankle all day long, but you got to extend Amari Cooper. You look at Dak's stats compared to before Amari Cooper came in to when Amari Cooper came in. And that's the piece that Amari Cooper brings. If he can stay healthy, which I think he can, honestly, he demands double coverage. If you don't, you're getting burnt. That helps the running game. That helps guys on the other end, Michael Gallup. And Dak Prescott, this is why I'm saying franchise tag him. You ready for this, Joe? Because it's a true West Coast system offense that Dak Prescott's going to be in. It's Mike McCarthy's offense with Kellen Moore's language in the headset for Dak to call those plays. And if Dak can really, truly play in a West Coast offense, win a playoff game, win two playoff games, there's no risk. Pay him. Whatever the market is, pay him. There's no need to pay him now, and he can't flourish under a legitimate West Coast offense. That's my fear. We're going to pay him all this money, five-year, four-year deal, and he struggles in a Mike McCarthy offense. The Mike McCarthy offense won a Super Bowl, you know? And if Dak can take that West Coast offense, go to the NFC Championship game, which has been 26 years since the Cowboys even been there, it was worth the gamble, Joe. That's why I say franchise tag Dak Prescott and extend Amari Cooper.
Yeah. No, it's a fascinating conversation, man, because it's, you know, you're kind of looking as far as who do you want? Who do you feel more comfortable long term, right? And who are you kind of still questioning? Like, I feel like if we're still questioning Dak at this point, it's not a good thing, you know. It's not, and we're not hating on Dak or anything like that. We're just saying, you know, it's why is this still a conversation? If he's your guy, he's your guy. Pay the guy the money. You know, I hate that we go through this like every year with some player, Zeke, Dez, DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, now it's Dak's turn. Is he going to be in Cabo if they tag him? I hate this crap. Like, just take care of everything in the offseason. Let's go to camp, no distractions, and let's start whipping some butt here. It's always going to be some distraction, and it's super annoying to me.
Did you see what Brian Broaddus tweeted out or wrote an article on 103 The Fan?
No, I didn't. What did he say?
He said that during the course of the season, Jerry Jones was questioning the current staff if Dak Prescott was our guy. And Broaddus just don't throw things out there. That must have really happened. And Broaddus has a lot. He used to be a scout for the Cowboys, so he has a lot of connections in that group. And I believe it. And just from the Cowboys, and it's not, and the rumor wasn't true that, you know, Dak said turned down $33 million a year and said he wanted 40. Yes, he turned down $30 million a year, but it's not a proven fact that he wanted 40. So he did up his price, but if the Cowboys knew Dak was their guy, and let's say the price was a $3 million difference, a $36 million average a year. If the Dallas Cowboys really believed that, they would have done it. And they didn't do it. And now, during the course of the season, Jerry Jones is questioning, hey, is Dak really our guy? And if you remember, DallasCowboy.com, when we drafted Dak Prescott, dropped a video of Jason Garrett convincing Jerry Jones that this was the right move to take Rain Dakota Prescott in the fourth round of the draft. You know, Jason Garrett was convincing Jerry Jones. So even at that time, Jerry Jones really didn't believe in Dak until Jason Garrett convinced him. Well, I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it is. It is. That's an interesting thing there, you know, coming from Broaddus. I know he has his ear to the ground there. You know, he hears a lot of things and whispers and that kind of thing. So I think we will miss that part of his information, you know, these moving forward, because he's no longer with the team. But, you know, that doesn't mean that he's still not hearing things even now. You know, he still has friends in the building, so I trust and I totally respect Brian Broaddus. So I there's no way he's just making this up, so there's something to it. You know, when there's smoke, there's fire, that kind of thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if they tag him, you know, and let's see how he does with Mike McCarthy. And if he looks good, if he's McCarthy's guy, you extend him. You know, maybe he does end up being at $37 million by that time. But that's fine. If he's rolling and we're getting to the NFC Championship or whatever, hey, man, pay the guy. You know what I mean? But on the bad part, I guess on the negative part, if he doesn't look good in this this new administration, then you know that we got to get McCarthy a guy here. We're probably going to have to do something big here for 2021. So
exactly. And I don't know. It's going to be pretty interesting. And, you know, Mike McCarthy's press conference wasn't, I came here because of Dak Prescott. Don't just read a headline and say, oh, Mike McCarthy came here for Dak. Oh, Jerry Jones hired Mike McCarthy to develop Dak. Jerry Jones hired Mike McCarthy to win ball games, and that was said in the press conference way before Mike McCarthy even said the word Dak Prescott. And so Jerry Jones brought in Mike McCarthy because he can win in the National Football League. And don't read the headlines as you're crazy. Jerry Jones brought in Mike McCarthy for Dak Prescott. Mike McCarthy came to Dallas for Dak. No, they came here to win football games with or without Dak Prescott.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, he's a top-tier coach. And when there's a top-tier coach of that caliber available on the market, you got to make a move. So I'm glad he's our guy, and I'm excited to see what he does moving forward, you know.
But me too.
Yeah, so it's a tricky situation. There's good arguments for either one. You know, for if you want to tag Cooper, maybe you don't quite trust the health or the passion. I don't know. Because then we're coming up on year four on Michael Gallup this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to make a decision on him, how much you're going to want to pay him. So a lot of contracts are going to start piling up on the Cowboys. So they got to make some shrewd moves. All right, Mike?
They have to. And, you know, Cowboy fans, some of them might pull out their hair and wonder, you know, what the heck they're doing, you know. But at the end of the day, they're doing what's best for the business.
Best for the business, yeah, because this is a business at the end of the day. So it's like, you know, and I think that's where, you know, you get the conflict with the fans. You know, you're so invested in these players. I bought the jersey. I went to training camp. I got his autograph. I'm a Mississippi State fan. I love that. You know what I mean? Or Amari Cooper. I love Alabama. I just love him. You know, you get these fans that just get so enamored that they can't separate themselves from the football to the business and the contract, you know, for the player. You're right. So
you're right.
It's an interesting dynamic, but you know, we'll continue to follow this as it comes along. Like I said, you know, next week towards the end of next week is the combine. Maybe we'll hear a little bit of something, you know, where they're leaning towards.
Maybe we might drop two shows next week.
Yeah, no, I actually, guys, that's actually a good idea. We're probably going to do one for sure. Well, obviously, always on Tuesday, you guys can hear us. But, you know, we will do one. Yeah, I think we need to do that, Mike. So for you guys, we'll give you a scouting combine breakdown. Who stood out? Who came out of nowhere? Who moved into the first round conversation? Who fell out of the first round conversation? Who's a knucklehead? Who failed the drug test? Who has medicals? We'll talk about all of this stuff, guys. And you know, we'll most importantly, we're going to have a little hint as to who the Cowboys have interest in. With those names, we'll have those names for you, and we'll be able to break down the players a little bit closer.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
I can't wait, bro. I can't wait. So I think that's it, guys. You know, we kind of made this more of a cornerback-centric conversation today, but we kind of touched on a lot of things here. Obviously, you know, the franchise tag, where do we go with it, the Dak and Amari Cooper. So a lot of good information for you guys. We gave you some names here for the cornerbacks. You guys should go out and check out, make your own opinions on these players that we talked about for the draft. Let us know what you guys think in the comments and give us a 5-star review. Mike, let me know where these guys can find you. If they haven't already, where can they find you?
Dallas Cowboy Football News on YouTube. Dallas Cowboy Football News on Facebook. DCF News 1 on Twitter, guys. I've been getting a lot of followers, and you can ask them. I follow you back. And if you want to have a conversation, give me a mention, give me a DM, and let's have that conversation. Thanks for having me, Joe. Another one in the books.
another one in the books, everybody. So I really do appreciate you guys. Continue to follow both of our channels. Follow us on Twitter. We do have one especially for the Frisco Report, and that's at the Frisco Report. All right, guys? But that's all we have right now for you guys. We'll catch you for the next one. Peace out, everybody. Peace.
Peace.